Hi, this is Eric Condren. You're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode number 26 of the Sens Call-Ups for Thursday, May 23rd, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Pan, Canuck, and I are back with lots to say about the Senators' Round 2 series against the Penguins. To be certain, things aren't going as a Sens fan would like. We could whinge about the reffing, we could complain about media bias, we could be angry about the cheap shots. Who am I kidding? Of course we're going to be doing all those things, and lots more as well. Pan, I've been a little worried about you today. How are your rage levels doing?
I'm pissed.
Oh, still?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, well,
I'm getting more sad now. It was ridiculous.
Yes. Well, so, keep that rage going. We'll certainly be able to use that. We'll tap into that quite a bit tonight, I think. Canuck, you managed to survive the watching the game in a Halifax bar without too many bloody injuries, I hope?
Yeah, actually, the bar I was in had more Sens fans than Pittsburgh, and including people wearing the jerseys. So
really?
I was impressed.
In Halifax,
even though the sports bar had a corner called Crosby's Corner. It was good.
Did you go and take a dump in Crosby's Corner?
No.
Nice.
I did not.
This from the guy who gave me a hard time about making a tweet about 5 months ago about the lockout and lay in coil in the corner. But anyway.
A lot less pesky, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit of a downer today. It's been pretty low energy, low spirits for me as well. But we'll get to that. There is some good news to get to before we get to that. So we got
there
a lot
is?
To cover tonight. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There is some good news. There will be. Got a lot to cover tonight. We have two guest appearances with, or at least guest contributions with other people doing game summaries, which I certainly appreciate, and so I'm sure you two do as well.
Yeah. Score!
It's awesome. So let's get to it.
Okay. Game on.
Game 2, Friday, May 17th, the Senators at the Penguins. We have a summary from listener Boingy, who took the game summary and even sent it to us, already completed, as an audio file. Let's plug that one in.
Good day, Groundhogs. Boingy here, reporting from behind enemy lines, deep within the 416 area code, with a game summary for Game 2, Ottawa versus Pittsburgh, in the Eastern Conference semifinals. A couple of quick caveats before getting underway here. I am recording this on Friday night, shortly after Game 2 ended. I have not seen any of the post-game stuff yet, but more to the point, I don't know how Games 3 and 4 of the series are going to turn out, and by the time the next podcast is out, you might know already, so bear that in mind. Also, fair warning, I've been dipping into the maple whiskey. Cardinal, I blame you. All right, as Pan would say, game on! But I'm not going to do the rest of the sound effects, don't worry. Okay, Game 2, Sens at Pens, Friday, May 17th. Senators are picking up the pieces from their 4-1 loss to Pittsburgh in Game 1 and looking to take the series home to Ottawa, even at one game apiece. Cassian is out, Latendresse is in, Andre Benoit is replacing Eric Greiba, who is out with an upper body injury that more than a few of us think is a concussion after his collision with Brooks Orpik in Game 1. Anderson starts in net for Ottawa, and Volkoon is between the pipes for Pittsburgh. Are lots of chances for Pittsburgh early on in the first period. They're about as aggressive as you'd expect. Another early turnover by Carlson, which, of course, the CBC was all over. But, yeah, we'll leave that right there for now. And, yeah, it's Crosby at 3:16 of the first, and not the last we'd see of him in this game. Right through both Silverberg and Carlson, and a wrister to beat Anderson. Yeah, give Crosby time and space, and with his speed, he'll kill you. 1-0 Pittsburgh. And on and on and on the CBC goes about how fast Crosby is, how it was his 100th career playoff point. Yeah, we get it. Shortly after that, Malkin rifles one off the post about 2 minutes later. Bink! Volkoon shuts the door on Benoit, but aside from that, the Sens barely spend any time at Pittsburgh's end in the first half of the period. And into the box we go. This would be another one of the themes of the night. First penalty kill is at 6:21 of the first. Tourist gets two for holding, and on the CBC goes about how good Pittsburgh's power play is. But Ottawa survived, but Sens go back to the box at 10:19. This time it's Mathot for roughing on Dupuis. Pretty dodgy call, if you ask me. Malkin very nearly pots another one that skids just past Anderson's right leg through the blue paint, but it's another successful penalty kill. But then Ottawa gets a power play as Malkin goes off for hooking, and just 12 seconds later, Touris sneaks one past Volkoon on the right-hand side to even it up. Alfie and Gonchar get assists, and it is 1-1 at 12:15 of the first. Some more decent pressure by Ottawa after that, but at 16:07 of the period, Crosby again. Crosby. He takes the drop pass from Kunitz and then sneak up the left side, finds the hole on Anderson's short side. 2-1 Pittsburgh. First period ends with Pittsburgh out shooting Ottawa 18-7, which is another one of the stories of the game. And then I hit the mute button so I could pretend that Don Cherry doesn't exist. So if anyone else wants to talk about what Bozo the chimpanzee there had to say in the first intermission or in the post-game show or whatever, go ahead, because I wasn't listening. Second period, Carlson gets called for hooking 49 seconds into the period, and he hooked Matt Cook, naturally. He must have been thinking, God, why didn't I just put my stick up his nose and make it worth my while? That would have been nice. So, Ottawa on the penalty kill again, which sets up the Crosby hat trick at 1:15 of the period. Blech. It's now 3-1 Pittsburgh. Anderson gets yanked, in comes Lehner. But Greening comes back just 40 seconds later with a huge goal just over Volkoon's left shoulder as he's down on his knees. Smith and Neal with the assists, and it is now 3-2 Pittsburgh. Lehner then robs Aginla with a beauty of a save just off his last leg. Orpik puts a hard hit on McCulloch, and then Malkin nearly breaks Carlson's nose with an elbow. No call, naturally. But Latendresse, of course, gets two for boarding at 5:56 of the period after hitting, I believe it was Malkin. I didn't think it was that bad a hit, but hey, so Ottawa is on the penalty kill. Again, starting to sound like a broken record here. Killed that one, but just seconds after the penalty expired, Brandon Morrow deflects slap shot from Paul Martin, 4-2 Pittsburgh. And back to the penalty kill we go once again, this time a slashing call on Neal at 8:22. Yeah. Colin Greening nearly gets a shorthanded goal and almost gives a rebound to Silverberg, but he knocks the net off, so the puck is whistled dead. Just no luck for Ottawa tonight, it seems. And, you know, I got to say this, even though the CBC hates Carlson for some friggin' reason, I've got to admit, he looked slow and sluggish throughout the game, and as the CBC so helpfully pointed out with their graphics and stuff, he barely got any ice time in this game. Guys, I think Carlson may have come back too soon. I really hope not. Konecker had another close but no cigar breakaway, but still couldn't solve Volkoon. Into the third period we go. 2:01 of the third, pinch by Benoit, bunch of bodies in front of Volkoon, and then Pajot, scrapes it in, 4-3 Pittsburgh. Orpik nails, I think it was Zach Smith, and finally Ottawa goes in the power play, but can't convert. They're still down 4-3, and at this point the Sens are running out of time. And by this point, of course, the CBC love fest for Crosby has me reaching for that bottle of maple whiskey. Jeez. A couple of nice saves by Lehner around the 10-minute mark and into the second half of the period. Good pressure by Ottawa. Konecker is on another run to Volkoon, and then, you guessed it, back to the box as Konecker gets hauled for high-sticking Crosby. Looked to me like Konecker's stick was pushed up by the Pittsburgh defenseman, and while the stick did contact Crosby, I thought Sid the Kid sold it pretty nicely, because think about it, Conacher's stick would have basically bounced off that cage that he's wearing to protect his jaw. That didn't stop him from making a nice dramatic motion, of course. And, you know, Canuck, feel free to schnappy Crosby if you like, okay? Back to the penalty kill yet again. This time, the Sens killed the penalty, but it really cost them because it robbed them of two precious minutes of offense that they really needed. And despite a couple of good rushes in the dying seconds of the game, that was where it stayed. Final score, Pittsburgh 4, Ottawa 3. So, after a couple of dumb penalties, a couple of breaks for Pittsburgh from the officials, a couple of pieces of just plain bad puck luck with the breakaways by Greening and Conacher, and, of course, that little matter of the Sidney Crosby hat trick, we're now down by two games. Ottawa played a pesky game at times and actually seemed to wake up and pressure Vokoun more than I recall them doing in Game 1, but Anderson got shelled, and overall, Pittsburgh outshot Ottawa 42-22, which is what can happen when you take penalty after penalty after penalty. Wish I had a better recap for you, Groundhogs, but, where did I put that maple whiskey again? For the Sens Underground, this is Boingy, signing off.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Well done.
Boingy, there's only 82 games a season. Feel free to do that. I'd say 81 times.
Well, especially the home games, because Pan's doing all the away games.
Yeah. Wait. Hold on. That math doesn't add up at all.
Sure it does. Yeah. Works for me.
No, that was great. But no, one thing I was really sick of and I kept tweeting it was the 2 minutes for playing against the Pens.
Yeah.
Typical. Pittsburgh typical.
Tons of them.
It's just a disgrace.
It's a joke.
I'm not calling for the audio clip, but no. It would certainly be appropriate. Two quick things from that that summary. Number one, maple whiskey isn't my fault. That's Shredder's. Not my fault. And number two, if Don Cherry is Bozo the chimpanzee, so we now have a no talent donkey and a chimpanzee on the same broadcast team. That's starting to turn into a bit of a circus.
They should add more goalies.
We have a theme here.
Well, no, I really think a lot of these goalies should go on because they watch a lot of games.
Well, I've been enjoying Kevin Weeks on the panel.
Kevin Weeks, yeah, he's great.
His takes are lucid and he's quite eloquent with them as well. So I find his analysis to be quite interesting.
Like Panger was a starter, right?
I don't think he was ever a starter in the NHL. Yeah, career backup.
To career backup, Greg Millen, all these guys. So I think it's good. It's a good vision of the game, and they're always listening to the bench.
Well, they're also a player who plays and watches an entire 60 minutes of a game. They don't get, okay, well, my shift is over. I've got 90 seconds to recover. They're not necessarily exerting themselves as hard as a forward is or a defenseman is, but they play all 60 minutes of it. So they're used to watching a game intensely for 60 minutes of clock time. Yeah, for sure.
No, that was a good breakdown.
Yep. Boingy, we're going to call on you next year for sure, because that was awesome. Not just because I didn't have to do it, but that was a great summary.
No, next round.
Next round, sure. Absolutely. Next game was Game 3, which was Sunday, May 19th. That was the Penguins at the Senators.
Woohoo!
And we have another guest summary. This one isn't an audio summary. This one comes from Elaine, which sent it to us. She sent the summary to us in text form, and I've divided it up.
Is that the right game? That's Game 3.
Yeah.
That's the right game.
It's the right game. Only played 4 so far.
Where did he Game 1? I don't even remember Game 1.
We did Game 1 in the last show.
Oh, my God. I've just wiped all of this from memory.
I hear you.
That's okay. Do you need a moment?
It's been a rough week. Yeah.
Pan and I were at this game.
That's right.
It's like, I was with you? It's like, oh, right.
Oh, it was a whole section over. Jeez.
Yeah. I was listening to the game while sitting up in the cabin after fishing all day. So I was at the game in spirit, but I was listening to it on the radio.
Was it the team 1200 feet?
Yeah, on Lake, what do they call it? Star 96 in Pembroke. I can't get the team 1200 up there, but I can get the Pembroke radio station.
Nice.
Yep. Worked pretty well. All right, so let's get to game two. We split this up between the three of us so that listeners don't get tired of any one particular voice. They'll be sick of all three of us by the end of it.
Yeah, that was fun. Obviously, it's my sister. She texted me and she's like, "Hey, since you're going to the game, do you want me to take game notes?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." This is like, was it the last time that we played Pittsburgh? And I went down to the clock tower. I'm always going out drinking, aren't I? But went down to the clock tower in the market. And my friend's wife was just like, "You know what? I'll be the DD tonight." It's like, okay. So we just ended up going down to the clock tower. And that was a triple overtime game.
Oh, Matt Karkner, triple overtime last
year.
Yeah.
So she had to sit there going like, "Is this going to end? I'm tired and I want to go home and I got to drive all of you jackasses."
Nice.
Another round.
Yeah, so this is pretty much the same reaction. It's like, "I'm emailing you the document tomorrow. I am never doing this again."
Oh, well, we appreciate it.
Which is quite unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Let's get going.
All right, here we go. So Spets is in. Anderson's in. Will the mojo be back in too? Well, we'll see about that. Pre-game highlights. Prior to the game start, the Hockey Night in Canada guys talked about the Sens and Spets's return for all of 5 minutes. Then both Healy and Oaks interview Pens players. Bias much? Thank goodness PJ is at least trying to put in a few comments about Ottawa. The music montage is super depressing with imagery of running horses and Anderson being called back to the bench. Way to pump us up, CBC. Yeah. Well, we're not Canada's team. As we go to the ice, the audience is nice and loud. Looks like the Army's doing their part.
Game on. Play is a bit messy, hectic, but not lacking drive at start. Sens seem to be winning a lot of faceoffs and stealing the puck. Anderson makes a few good saves as the first period begins, but the Penguins aren't taking full control as they did early in games 1 and 2. 6 minutes in, the first penalty is called against Phillips for holding during what looked like a regular battle for the puck along the boards.
Two minutes for playing against Pens.
Yeah, or as Russell called it in the forums, "Phillips, 2 minutes for being stronger than the other guy."
Yeah.
Alfie clears the puck about 3 times during an excellent PK. Right at the end of the penalty, Pittsburgh goes offside, which gives everyone a break. The Alfie chant at 11:11 comes through super loud. "Good work, guys." The Subway bio is about Mark Mathot, not a Penguin. But they sure do focus on his hair a lot, though. Back to the game. After an onside call against the Sens, they regroup and Turris has a good chance on Vokoun as he fumbled the puck, something he seems to do a lot of. Sens toughen up. Excuse me, I lost my spot there.
Actually, you know what? I came up with the nickname for Vokoun.
What's that?
Just for the rest of the show, can we just call him Rubbers?
Ooh.
It bounces right off of him. Like a rubber ball.
Sens toughen up and start being more aggressive. Excellent hit by Gonchar O'Neill. Moving along.
Moving along.
The momentum that he gave to the game is quickly doused by, guess what? Another offside call. Benoit gets a good hit on Letang to stop his breakaway. Someone wants to go against JGP during a "ref you suck" chant. Pageau is smarter than to be goaded into a fight since the game is still going full speed. I love that kid. A pileup arrives on Anderson's front door. He makes a smart move to smother the puck and stop play. There's no fighting yet, but you can definitely feel the tension is mounting. The Sens get it to the other end of the ice, and Gonchar shoots one that goes across the paint, and Vokoun didn't know if it went in or not. Another rush, and Phillips gets a shot on too. Boy, this is detail. And geez, when I scroll on this thing, it loses its spot. Glass hits Spezza from behind at 16:33. Slashing, hitting him where it hurts gives the Sens a chance. Turris gets a shot on. Chaos ensues. Vokoun sits on Alfie.
Yeah.
Alfie does a good job of keeping the Sens in control of the puck through the last half of the penalty. His last effort after Glass gets back on the ice is wasted as there's no one with him to pick up the pass that was right in front of Vokoun's net. Right at the end of the first period, Mathot slides into Malkin to stop a breakaway, which results in Malkin getting into the net rather than the puck. He takes a penalty, but not a penalty shot. No score at the end of the first period.
Second period. Second period starts with Ottawa down a man, and the Crosby line is on the ice. Anderson seems to have figured out what went wrong in game two and is able to handily stop any of his attempts. Now, if he does a great job of taking the puck all the way into the offensive zone shorthanded, but then play is stopped, not because of an offside play, which was also happening, but because of too many men. Konecker goes to the box to join Mathot. With a 5-on-3, Anderson makes a dramatic save against Malkin's one-timers. Mathot's penalty is over and gets back on the ice and has a good breakaway chance. The Sens slow play as they kill off the last seconds of the second penalty. Whatever play was left ends due to another offside call against Ottawa. Seriously, guys, get it together. The refs are horrible and don't call the dirty play against Zibad as his stick is broken against the boards by Dupuis. Anderson makes another amazing save against another Malkin breakaway. The crowd shows its appreciation loud and clear. The refs continue to be redonkulous and call Smith for roughing just under 7 minutes in. I don't know when giving somebody noogies was considered roughing, but now the Sens have to fight off another power play. But then Crosby gets a penalty. What? Crosby? Penalty? What?
I think it's more like, what?
Thank you. My voice can't do that today. A high-sticking slash goes against his own guy. That's insane, but I'll take it. Sens get a power play for 90 seconds. They keep the pressure on throughout, but there's no goal in the end. Murray for holding and Carlson for diving both get penalties at the 11-minute mark, but Aginla sits in for Murray, who goes back to the dressing room holding his ribs. He comes back a few minutes later. I guess he's more a dedicated actor than Erik Karlsson. The 4-on-4 is spent going up and down the ice. A lot of stealing occurs. Turris gets a good shot on goal, and Vokoun fumbles again. The Sens are desperately trying to poke it in the net, and the ref blows his whistle early, yelling he can't see the puck anymore. Yet another lost opportunity. JGP wins a face-off against Crosby and helps it get down to the ice for a shot on net. It feels like the Sens aren't fearing Crosby as much now. He certainly isn't as much of a force as he was in the last game. I also see some good body work against Crosby during this period, and the refs aren't blowing their whistles each time someone comes in his personal space. Refreshing. Defense seems to be busy giving Cook some lessons, and don't stop Kennedy from getting control of the puck. Kennedy shoots, and while the goalpost rings, it fails to bounce the puck away. The puck drops right behind the line, and the score is 1-0 Penguins. The NHL ice tracker doesn't even note this type of hit, but I saw that Kondra is hurt soon after the goal. Orpik shoved a stick into his legs. No penalty. Typical.
Yeah, Puddle Duck kind of described that one graphically in the emergency episode. Rangers just won, boys, by the way. Third period. The period starts with offside calls against Ottawa 30 seconds in. Ruby Soho by Rancid is playing well. Everyone gets reset. Pretty awesome. She loves that song. The period continues. It starts with the same sort of strange halting play. The Sens are frustrated with the lack of ability to get the puck out of the defensive zone. They're all looking tired. Orpik does a dirty job on Neal, which took its focus away from the opportunity to get a rebound in front of Vokoun. The lack of connection between passes continues. This evaporates any chances the Sens make for themselves. Seems like it's a little bit of a battle to get the puck into the offensive zone. Lots of pitching. It passed the blue line and scrambled to try to get it in somewhere behind the net. Pens are playing defensively, though, so many of their efforts are stolen away. Greening and Eaton collide. The announcers say that Greening is hurt and is down in the locker rooms with a possible concussion. He comes back at the 7:44 mark, though. Seems okay. And yes, by golly, he sure will be. And that's the thing, because I'm just going to interrupt this and break. But was that when Greening got the stick to the face?
Yeah, I think so.
So not only did he get cut, but he also had a piece of the stick in his face.
Yeah, some fiberglass in his face.
Is that not a 4-minute penalty?
Oh, well, maybe he didn't start to bleed right away. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Three, whatever.
Exactly.
Anyways, Neal continues to take advantage of rebounds, but he can't put the puck over Vokoun. Didn't like the fact that Neal was on that line, to be honest with you. He's really getting frustrated. Carlson is hit in the face with a high stick by Cook and goes down hard, no penalty. The announcers say that that's because he was given a diving penalty early on. The refs aren't buying anything he's saying, which is just garbage. Sens continue to fight to control the puck. Every inch of up the ice is a battle. They're passing poorly through a lot of Penguins mid-ice and are losing control of the puck. Time is ticking away. JGP makes a nice hit on Orpik. 44 plus 44 equals 88. Lucky number. She doesn't know about Lindros. Ice Tracker Ouch. Has the hit. No, she doesn't. She's fairly new to hockey. Well, not really, but anyway. Ice Tracker has a hit going the other way. I don't believe that. Carlson slashes against Cook with his stick, not his skate. This penalty, this play gets a penalty with less than 2 minutes left in the game. I agree with a loud crowd. Ref, you suck indeed. And with that, Carlson really got hold of the short end of the stick on that one. Yeah!
Oi.
I'm ad-libbing.
You're on fire.
I know. Whoa. Pittsburgh has been letting play go long during the penalties in hopes of tiring out Ottawa to end the game. But lo and behold, Alfie scores with 28 seconds left on the clock. Oh my God. Beautiful. Look up game saving play in the dictionary. You'll see Alfie's excellent tip off Benoit's pass into the goal. Game resumes with Ottawa still in the PK, only a few seconds left. Anderson saves a big one-timer from Crosby. Another huge play. Sens have tied it up.
I'm pretty sure I jumped up at least 5 feet clear from the floor.
Yeah.
When they scored.
I hurt my back again.
I think they were hearing me at the other cabin on the lake where I was. And it's a kilometer and a half down the lake.
I pictured you on the boat listening to and all of a sudden the boat just capsized right there.
No, we weren't fishing that late. You don't fish in the dark.
That's funny.
Well,
Cherry literally sings Alfie's praises during the short intermission. Scott Oak interviews Phillips, who really doesn't say anything. They know it's going to be a battle to win this thing. Cherry McLean also say that Anderson is amazing and would have been an MVP had he played just a few more games. Luongo at Strongbone tweets, Alfredson should play overtime with the golden helmet. Hell yeah.
Overtime. Anderson fumbles his first rebound, saves it before anyone else can get at it. He saves another two amazing chances that came right across his doorstep. I remember this. This is when I think they sent Pageau in to replace Turris on the faceoff.
Yeah.
Over and over again, he has to smother it. Carlson looks slow in his reactions. It isn't until much later that he starts looking sharp on his feet again. A huge rush from Condra, Greening, and Turris on Volkoon gives Ottawa a chance, but still no goal. All this momentum is killed yet again as Ottawa's called offside thanks to a slow send, not making it to the bench on time. Anderson faces a rush from the Penguins after they steal from Ottawa in a failed pass mid-ice. Anderson stops the puck while he's standing straight up. Anderson's such an amazing goalie. No kidding. Another shot by the Pens. Dupuis hits a post. Everyone in the arena inhales at once. Play continues with lots of skating up and down the ice. The guys must be exhausted by now. Adam hits Spezza hard. Looks like a headshot in the slow motion replay. Of course, no call. Carlson saves what would have been a good chance by Crosby by diving in front of a hard shot. Ottawa called a timeout after 1:30 left in the OT. No one's taking it. No one's talking at the bench and at the benches. Everyone's just trying to catch their breath after an exhausting, scoreless first OT.
Second overtime. I'm tired. I didn't sign up for 5 periods of note-taking. My computer battery has died, so now I have to take the notes by hand. I can sympathize with that. I've had the same thing happen to me. Phillips gets a holding call against Cook 2 minutes into play, which puts the Senators into yet another PK mode. Anderson saves their bacon. Glass gets on Alfie near the Pens net. No call. Neil gets hit hard by Orpik. He's down and stays down. It looks like he slid head... It seems he slid and hit his head on the boards, probably because the ice is looking extra wet. No penalty. Niskanen trips McCulloch 5 minutes in. Finally. The Senators get a power play, but their use of it is bad. The guys look so tired. No chances during the entire 2 minutes. The rush picks up after the Pens get back to full strength. Benoit takes a shot and another shot. There's chaos around the net. Pens Eaton loses his stick to the right of the net. Volkoon is trying to communicate with him while trying to keep his view clear. Condra gets a hold of the puck on a rebound, sends it to Benoit. Greening angles it in. Greening scores! Ottawa wins. Train horn for days. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy went crazy.
Can you loop that for like 8 minutes?
Yeah, I just started to do that.
Just have it playing in the background. The bench clears and the boys lift their sticks to the audience. bumper cars? I don't get that reference.
I get it. And actually, I thought it was really clever because when they're lifting their sticks up, of course, you know what it looks like.
It looks like bumper cars
that have the pole going up in the little loop, you know.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I was trying to figure that out. Class act, Anderson gets the first star and gives some very lucky fan his stick. What a game. I have to say, Elaine, that was an astonishingly good game summary. We've been very lucky this week to have you do this one and to have Boingy do the first one because they've been two really good, really, really good game summaries. That really, I don't know about you two, but I really felt like I was back listening to that game. I wasn't watching it, but listening to that game all over again because it really painted a very, very vivid picture of it. So thank you very much. That was awesome.
Now we'll be able to sleep
those
again.
Are lots of details.
And now I'm sorry, listeners, but you have to listen to just one of my regular ones for game four because I haven't done as much work as those first two. But I'll try and get through this one fairly quickly.
Well, Cardinal, did you sleep after game three?
I did. Yeah. But that's mostly because it was we had a fair amount to drink while listening to that entire game. So
was there any like running around the campfire and hooping and hollering?
Well, we were inside. I did, after the game-winning goal, I did go outside and let out kind of a war cry, yahoo, then listen to it echo, you know, down the lake and off the mountains and so on around. So, yeah. I was still able to get to sleep afterwards because it had been a good night. Let's just leave it at that.
I think collops drink a lot, don't they?
We're always talking about it. So, let me get this right. The double overtime goal scored, you know, you're jumping up and cheering, and then you run outside and you do like a Tarzan yell.
Well, it wasn't quite Baltimore like, but yeah, maybe a little bit like that. Sure, why not? Nice play. I couldn't figure out where you were going with this, but nicely done. Let's get through this one. This one isn't quite so good news as the last one. Game four. Conacher was out and Stone was in. And this is a game that the Senators really wanted to win to even up the series.
Hate that.
Okay, well, we can talk about
that. Hate it.
Stone being in?
Stone in, yep. Conacher out?
I don't like it either.
Well,
I mean, this is the guy we traded Bishop for. This is what we gave our asset up for, and he's supposed to be part of the pesky team.
Well, I don't think Bishop would do anything else for this game anyway.
No.
Well, but Conacher didn't have a strong game three.
So
he's had three clutch goals.
Yeah, and Stone had a really clutch assist in a game last year in the playoffs. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
How was Anderson's game two?
It was wrong.
I don't know.
It's like, why change that?
You keep
putting him on the second line, though. Like, Conacher is always first, second line. Move one of the other guys up.
I don't know.
Toss Conacher didn't want Granite. It's going to be the smallest line in the world, but they can go under people's feet. Pajot, Condra, Conacher.
Yeah, so not much of an energy line there, though. If you put that line up against, do you really want to put that line up against the Crosby line or the Malkin line?
Hey, friggin' Pajot's been doing it alone.
Yeah. But putting smaller players with him, I'm not sure is the right plan. I don't know. I don't think that would work very well. Anyway, let's get through this. It's going to be hard enough to get through it as it is. The Senators managed to play at even strength for almost 90 seconds in the first period before Gonchar got an interference call at 1 minute and 26 seconds, and everybody started shaking their head going, okay, here we go. At least I did.
Right off the bat there, it was a little bit of contact against the Pens. Any contact against them.
Oh, okay.
The refereeing is a joke in this game.
Yeah. That comment's going to come up a lot, I think. However, the penalty kill was going pretty well, and just over a minute into it, after a beauty play by Benoit and Alfie to spring Milan Mikolic, streaks down the side, and Potts a shorthanded goal at 2:29.
Yep. And that was our third shot of the game. Pittsburgh had none.
Yeah.
And that was how you start a game.
Yeah, shorthanded goal.
Finally, a lead.
I'm really curious to though. I'd love to know how Paul McLean drew up some sort of weird sneaky play to put Gonchar in the box to try and lull the Penguins into thinking that they were, you know, in some sort of power mode because they were on the power play, and then draws up this play. That's pretty sneaky, but it worked. That's all that matters. A few minutes later, Letang was complaining about not drawing a penalty because he didn't sell it well enough, and he bitched and bitched and moaned. And then, sure enough, a couple of minutes later, at 5:57, Greening and Letang were jousting at the blue line, and Greening gets an interference call because he was bigger and stronger. Yet again, bigger
Letang
and stronger.
Letang was spinning like a top there, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the two of them are fighting in front of the net, so instead of throwing both of them, just Ottawa.
Just Greening. Yep. Exactly.
Carlson. Well, Carlson was, I don't know. Carlson's penalty for diving was in the previous game.
Yeah.
For getting punched in the face. So you can spin like a ballerina. And then and that's clean.
It's just momentum killing.
Pretty much. However, Phillips made an absolutely beautiful left skate save in the dying seconds of the PK on this one. It was, I think it was a second rebound that Shaw was coming in, and Anderson was down and out after making two saves. And Phillips made a beauty save with his left skate, and score stays at 1-0. Around the 10-minute mark, Ginla made one too many moves, and Anderson made another spectacular save. 40 seconds later, two spectacular saves by Anderson on Crosby during a 2-on-1. At this point, the shots are 11-3 for Pittsburgh. And Anderson is most definitely in beast mode.
Uber beast mode at that point.
Yeah, he developed into uber beast mode for sure. Around the 14 minutes, 15 seconds mark, Crosby was... What's this? Oh, yeah, sorry. Anderson was interfered with at the side of the net, but still gets back in front to make a wicked save after Crosby had stolen the puck from behind the net by lifting Anderson's stick. Fed it to Neil, but Anderson still made it back in time to make an absolutely unbelievable save. Gordon Dean were over the moon on that one. And just 45 seconds later, the Penguins win an offensive zone faceoff, and it was just a wicked, wicked shot. Top shelf, Neil scores to tie the game at 1. Anderson had no chance on that shot. No chance at all. It was just a bang, bang,
lost
play.
Coverage on him. And
yeah, bang, bang play right off a face-off.
Yeah.
Fortunately, around a minute and a half later.
Oh, actually, you know what? On that goal,
mm-hmm.
shots were 16-5.
Oh, 16-5 at that point. Okay.
So we just got killed in the middle there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just
and Anderson murdered. Kept us into it.
Stood on his head and then some. Uber beast mode is exactly right. At 16:15, Vokoun is sloppy with a rebound, and then Letang falls on his goalie, and Turris finds the puck in the crease, pots a goal, and regains the lead with assists to Silverberg and Carlson. And by the way, with that goal, Turris leads the team with 5 goals in the postseason, which is amazing. And the shots on goal are now 15-10. So they in just a couple of minutes, they had really, really evened them up with a flurry of shots on goal. The rest of the first
flurry of shots. Yeah!
Easy. Rest of the period, I don't really have much to say about it because that's the last important thing of the first period was that goal by Torres to make it 2-1.
Yeah, it really felt like we had the momentum going in.
Yep.
Yeah. At this point, I think we're starting to believe. It's 2-1, end of the first.
Exactly.
We're hanging in there.
We have a lead, no less.
We have a lead after the first.
Yeah.
What can go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the opening faceoff of the second period, Ottawa had 2 clearing attempts because the puck was in our zone. Both failed. Erik Karlsson eventually just says, screw this, skates it out. It becomes a 3-on-2, and he gets a shot on net, which just goes off Vokoun's shoulder and up and over the net. At the 1:08 mark, Kunitz walks in on a 2-on-0 after a bad pinch by both of our defensemen, and pots a goal, the game's tied.
Yeah, Silverberg screwed the pooch on that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, not good.
No.
30 seconds later, Carlson is high-sticked. Again, no penalty call. As a result, he's slow to get to the net and get a change for a new player. As a result, Iginla scores at 1:48 after another defensive breakdown in the send zone. So,
and this is got a missed call in the back of her net, too.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Carlson high-stick. This is that crazy goal that just sat, like it came right out and just sat there and was a tap-in for Iginla?
No, that's the James Neal one later on.
There are so many I can't remember.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So, well, I'll just interrupt here. Yep. So Ottawa tries to get any hit, it's a call. Pittsburgh can slash at you, high stick you in the face, interfere with you, dive, nothing.
Yeah.
So if you're a Sen, you're hesitant. How did we beat Montreal?
By being physical.
Being physical, ground them down. The hell out of them.
We can't do that in this game because anytime we do that, we get a penalty.
Exactly. So what happens is you're not playing your game anymore. You're hesitant in regards to playing your game. And because you don't want to put your team down, you had a little hesitation against Pittsburgh Penguins, and it's in the back of your net.
Yep.
And they know
and
it.
And that's like people don't want to blame the refs, but if you can't play the game right because you're always worried about putting your team down, that's the way that I saw this game.
And you can look at the scoreboard and you can say, well, they're all even straight goals, so it wasn't the refs that made them lose the game. No, but it was the refs that took the momentum right away and just played with them.
Well, not only that, it's not that I was watching this game and it wasn't not it to me, it wasn't just that we couldn't play our game. It was that we couldn't play our game, but Pittsburgh can, and worse, and get away with it. So they can be as physical as they want. They can hit, they can high stick, they can whatever, and they don't get the penalty call. If we try any of it, even if it's a clean one, we do get a penalty call. That's what it seems like. I mean, that's exaggerating. I realize that, but it was just daft.
I don't think it's really that exaggerating.
Anyway, let's get through this.
It's a joke.
I just want to get this over with. We're only in the second period. The Sens are giving the puck away. The Pens are getting they're playing catch up. They're now in the lead. There was a very scary moment at 3:37 where Alfie laid Eaton out and then limped back to the bench. And I think there was probably 50,000 people in the Ottawa area just going,
yeah.
Please no, please no. Fortunately, that was just a broken skate blade. He hadn't hurt himself. He just screwed up. But it was, oh, no, no, this can't happen. This just can't happen. At that point, the shots were already 6-1 for the Penguins in that period. At the six-minute mark, just at the whistle, as Anderson was covering up a puck, Cook tried to take a run at him, and Benoit drilled him. I like this. It was good. He's like, no, 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 you're not getting at my goalie. And there wasn't a penalty called on it, which I was a little surprised about, but I was happy to see it. 7:54, Pageot hits the post. That was an omen of things to come. And I noted, I think I actually texted it to you guys, and one of you said, write this down. Put that in the game notes, because that's perfect. And what I said was the Pens looked like they came with a plan, and the Sens looked like they just woke up from a nap. And that's really what it looked like. The Penguins were really executing on what they wanted to do, and the Senators looked like they were sleepy. Like they were just, it's not that they weren't trying, it's that they weren't processing fast enough. So
they were the sleepy Sens? Is it a pesky?
Well, they just kind of looked like they were having trouble processing what was going on and reacting to it properly. And when they were reacting, they couldn't react quite fast enough. Kind of like, you get up from a nap. And anyway, wasn't good.
Very, very true.
At the 12:40 mark, there was a loose puck in front of Vokoun after a save. Alfie, tried to took a swing at it to try and get it to go in. And suddenly he finds himself in a shoving match with Crosby and Letang having to justify what he was doing. And I was happy to see the other Senators go in there and go, hey, get away from our captain. Nobody can really hit you, so you don't get to try and take a shot at our captain. That's the thing I really hate about Crosby wearing that jaw protector. It's like it's just like Mark Bell a few years ago. He's wearing a cage. You can't touch him. He can face watch you. He can take a shot at you, and you can't touch him. Because if you do, you'll probably get disciplinary action. Because he's hurt.
Picking on the kid with glasses, right?
Yeah, you're not allowed to. But he can do anything he wants. That's what's really annoying me more than anything.
Hey, I never got this leisure when I was a kid.
Well, you see.
Rip off your glasses and punch you in the face.
Yeah. I think the Senators should all wear full cages for the next game. Every one of them. Nope. Can't do anything. Got a cage on. You take a shot at me, they have to call that penalty. If anything happens, they have to call it. So they should all wear full cages for the next game. Every single one of them.
Even though they can't see the puck.
Nah, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. But that way, I'm so frustrated with the amount of stuff that's not getting called with high sticks and everything else, like the greening greening in the last game, not this one, or high sticking on Carlson in this game. Wear a cage. They have to call those. They can't not call them. like force the referees to call them. Anyway, I was thinking about this the other day. It made sense to me at the time. Through the rest of this period, it's just more of the same.
It's just painful to look.
It's just painful. It is. It's just really painful.
It's so sad.
Spezza hit a post 1930 thanks to a tourist screen. But during that penalty kill, I was really getting... That was a penalty for Cook at 1832, 2 minutes for slashing on Stone. And I was actually yelling at the TV while I was watching this going, why is there nobody standing in front of Okun on that power play? There would be people sort of over at the... There was a player over at the side of the net, or somebody would sort of do a little drive-by, but nobody was standing in front of him blocking his view. There should be somebody there standing there blocking his view. Yeah, you'll probably get cross-checked in the ribs a couple of times by a defender who's trying to push you out of the way. You can do it back to him. But there should be somebody standing in front all the time. Let the other four play the perimeter game and pass it around and set things up. But there should be somebody there. And there wasn't, except for a couple of seconds, right when Torres went in to screen him, and that's when Spezza hit the post. That was it. And now the third period, the one that we don't really want to talk about.
We weren't even in the third yet? Oh, my God.
I'll get through this as quickly as I can.
Can I fast forward through the game recap?
Yeah. There you go.
Terrible.
The beginning of the third period was the end of that power play. It was more sloppy play by the Sens in our own zone, just not setting up in the Penguin zone properly. At 107, there's a major dive by Cook after there was hacking back and forth between he and Gonchar, and Gonchar gets the cross-checking penalty. Cross-checking penalty with no dive. And it was such a blatant dive.
It was a cross-check to the back of the head, and he just tumbled. Yeah. It is a dive, and then you call high-sticking.
Yeah.
If you're going to call it right.
Unbelievable. In the middle of that power play, there was a broken defensive formation after Crosby misses the net, puts the puck on Neil's stick. Neil has a wide-open net. Boom. 4-2. 4 minute mark, Mathot breaks in 2-on-1 with Silverberg. Volkoon gets a quick whistle while he was struggling for a rebound that hadn't corralled. Again, Senators are like, he didn't have the puck. Oh, well, couldn't see it. Had to blow the whistle. Couldn't see it. 6:21, there's an ugly hit by Stone on Niskanen. It looks like his left ankle is kind of bent in the wrong direction or far too far over to the side. And the slow motion replay, but goes to the room and he's back during the first minute of the power play, but the power play comes to nothing. Well, not exactly nothing at 8:08. During that power play, there's a shorthanded goal to Dupuis after Alfie plays Cook well in the odd man rush, but the rest of the Senators don't do a damn thing, and the rest of the back check to clean up a pass that comes out in front. That was a really, really poor play by the rest of the Senators. Alfie played Cook well, angled him back to the net. That was fine, but nobody picked up any of the trailers. It was just pathetic. Really, really bad. 29 seconds later, Crosby scores on another defensive breakdown. And I put in brackets, well, it was actually more like a defensive fall apart. But
wait,
anyway.
This goal that Alfie rubbed Cook out, this is the one that Anderson tried to do a poke check swing at, and then Cook kind of passed it back in front of the net. And like Anderson didn't even try for it because, well, I mean, of course, my D's got that. And
exactly.
Bam.
There was nobody covering the other. There was nobody covering
like
Dupuis who came in.
He turned around and he's just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. Yeah. Anderson did not play badly in this game. He did not deserve to have 6 goals against on his record in this game. He was in uber beast mode right until he got pulled out, but the rest of the team just fell apart. in fact, that's what the next line of my note says. The team has completely failed Anderson after his unbelievable work in period one to keep them in the game.
And what's the score now?
6-2?
5. Yeah, there's 2. 5. There's 2 more to come. Or 6-2. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. 6-2. Well, I'm so unbelievably sick of that song already. You can use that for the Penguins. I don't mind, because that means I don't have to hear it again. I'm so sick.
When I asked you to use that song, this wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
No,
exactly.
Nor was I.
Perfect.
But we got lit up, didn't we?
We did. Big time.
Litten up, 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 litten up, up, up.
Let's get through this.
Fire!
Let's see. 9-minute mark. Chris Neal gets a slashing call.
I just want to bury my head against the wall.
Well, it feels good when you stop doing that, but I wouldn't recommend it. Again, the score is in a one-timer.
I'd probably get a penalty for it, though.
That's right, you would, at the 10-minute mark. And I noticed that right around the 10-minute mark, there was an awful lot of thunder in downtown where I live. It's almost like the hockey gods were angry for the officiating treating the Golden God by the way that they were, by allowing the Pens to do almost anything while the Sens are called for retaliation without getting a call on the original play. So it was very ominous that everything was going on and suddenly there's thunder everywhere. 14:44, Alfie scores on the power play. It's his 100th career playoff point. Jokinen goes off for slashing Pajot at 15:25. But 4 seconds later, Orpik grabs and holds Alfie's stick and then falls down and draws a penalty, but then hands the stick over to Alfie when Alfie's on his way to the box.
Such an insult.
Yeah, and that got called. I can't believe that got called. Even the TV guys and the radio guys were going, "You're joking. You're joking you're calling that." But they did. And the rest of the period was just running out the clock. The one note from the end of the game was Alfie asked for the game puck and got it. And when he was asked about it in the post-game interviews, he said, "Well, you know, I have kids at home. We need hockey pucks."
Is that what he said?
Yeah. That made me sad. I mean, we knew this was coming.
Did you see him do it? I saw him do it. Did you stick around, Canuck? Or?
I wasn't at the game.
You weren't at?
I was in Halifax. I am in Halifax.
Right, yeah.
I was watching that Bubba Rays.
But yeah, he did ask for it, and that's what his comment was during the post-game.
I was petrified. But now, it might be forward-thinking, too, because last year, in Game 6, they had his son skate around with the flags.
Yep. No, you never know. You never know. It just it was a little odd.
What?
Well, that might have been the last time that Alfie ever played on home ice was Game 6 last year.
Yeah.
So they had this, they had
that's
his two oldest sons skating down.
And so he went and grabbed the puck this time.
Yeah.
Something came out today that Spezza told him to get it because it was his 100th point.
But wouldn't he have wanted the one that he scored that goal with rather than just the game puck from it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Now, the goal was only a few minutes before the end of the game. I don't know if any pucks went out of play between when the goal was scored and the game ended.
Yeah, but even at that, you'd always take it at that point, right?
You'd think.
Or Spezza would have just jumped the boards and asked for it.
Unless nobody knew that was his 100th when it happened. It only sort of came out afterwards. I don't know.
The Penguins didn't fight for it.
Nope. I don't know.
Because normally teams, they'll keep all the win pucks too, right?
Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, but the other thing that that was one of the things that Alfie said during his post-game interview, but the other one that has garnered all the attention was somebody asked him, a reporter asked him, you know, "You're down 3-1. What do you think your chances, you know, are you guys going to be able to come back?" I can't remember exactly how the question was phrased, but he's been taking a lot of heat today because his response was, "Well, probably not. You know, they have a lot of team. They have a lot of, their power play's working really well. They have a lot of really good players, blah, blah, blah." And there's been a lot of heat, both in local. Well, there's been a fair amount of questioning in local media, but the national media, I find, is playing it up a lot.
Well, hold on here, because he didn't stop the sentence. He said, "Probably not. Their depth and our play right now doesn't look good." But then he said, "We've never quit, and it's not going to stop now."
But nobody's playing the second part of it. They're only playing the first part. And that's what people are seeing. And that's what people are reacting to. I agree that it's a cutoff comment, but everybody's reacting to only the first part of the sentence because they're not playing the second part.
You want these guys to be honest when they are, you don't play the whole thing.
Thank you. That was exactly where I was going with this.
Now, do I think the Sens are going to win the series now? No.
No.
Am I going to cheer for them? Yeah.
Hell yeah. They're my team.
Is there a chance? Yeah.
Did we think they were going to win the series before it started?
No.
No.
Did we think they were going to win the last one? They had a chance at it. But, you know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen.
I just wish that it would seem more impartial with the reffing.
That would be nice.
That was a friggin' joke.
If you lose just like skill versus skill, and Pittsburgh has a lot more skill,
yeah,
I am fine with that.
But they just destroyed the momentum. Even that one late in the game Orpik went off. He's like looking at the refs like, what do you mean? Like,
I can't believe you called me on something. I've been getting away with this all game.
And once the game was out of reach, now they're calling all the Pittsburgh penalties to balance out the scoreboard or score sheet, right?
Exactly. It's
just a disaster.
And I think that the way that Alfie was answering questions last night, even if that remark was taken out of context rather than the whole soundbite, to me, it didn't sound like fatigue and frustration talking. To me, it sounded like, I want the focus away from the team because the team already feels bad enough. And I'm the captain and I'm a leader. And, you know, let's get.
Well, now they're going to challenge his leadership because he doesn't believe in the team.
Yeah, whatever. Find me another captain who's been serving as long as he has in the NHL. Oh, wait. No. You can't.
No.
So shut the hell up and Glenn Healy, just shut up, period. Because I know Glenn Healy's going to be all over it. You know he'll be all over it. And I'll just mute. Hopefully I'll be watching this game tomorrow in a bar where I won't be able to hear Glenn Healy.
Yeah.
And that'll make life much easier for me. As a different note, of all the adjustments, we spoke briefly about the adjustment of Conacher out, Stone in. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of Andre Benoit's play since he's been put into this lineup because of the injury to Greiba.
I think Andre Benoit just won himself an extension.
Well, I was going to say, if he hasn't won himself an extension, he's definitely landed himself a contract next year with another team.
Yeah. He was going to get picked up somewhere.
Yeah.
I am very impressed with him.
He played really well throughout the season when he was called on. Seriously well. And I would not be upset to have him back next year at all. I would welcome it because I think he's a guy who really fits in. He's not young like some of the players, but he's not like old as a veteran in the age group of Phillips and Gonchar and Alfredson. He's in the middle. He's young. He's young in terms of NHL games played, but he's been around hockey a long time because he's 28.
He was part of that Calder Cup winning team too.
Exactly. Yeah, so he fits in well with Greening and Condra and, you know, the other players who were there.
If he's going to re-sign here, he's got to be ready to be a 6-7.
That's what he's been playing all season.
Yeah, but we didn't have Cowan. Granted, Gonchar is gone. Gonchar, since Gabs are not going to like that, but I've liked him a lot too.
He had one. He did not contract have a strong year. Game. Yeah, he did not have a strong game in the last game, but the first three were very good. So
the refs screwed him in this game.
Well, then a lot of the
you just get in the head psychologically, right?
Yeah.
He got two bad calls against him, so you're not going to block or hit or touch or anything. But no, Benoit would have to be ready to be a 6-7. Just based on our depth. Because don't forget, Greiba and Wierkosz are back in, and I think the team's got more interest in those two because they're younger.
It's a long season. You're going to need them.
Yep.
Yeah. But a team like Tampa, who is brutal.
I can see Calgary picking him up. They need young.
I don't even know what they have, but yeah.
Do you really want to trade to another divisional opponent?
No, this is UFA signing. He's a UFA.
No, we'll see. I've been so impressed with his play all season, but especially since he's been called on in the playoffs. I'm like, I would not be unhappy at all if he was re-signed to this team at all. I was interested to see that Colin Greening was actually getting airtime on TSN, where they were actually going, have you been watching this guy? This guy, you know, he's been going into the dirty areas. He's been getting some clutch goals. He's a guy who went through the college system. He spent his time in the AHL. He's really, you know, sort of coming of age in this playoff series where he's putting himself into his own element. And I have to agree. I mean, Greening didn't have the greatest season this year compared to last year. But during the playoffs, he's been pretty solid. Pretty solid, and I've been quite happy with it.
Okay, rant time.
Go ahead.
After game three, that epic 2-1 double overtime win, let alone the comeback, just an absolute amazing day for Ottawa fans.
Yes.
And, you know, you look on the sports media and okay, even TSN. Yeah, they'd show the game recap like they always do, and they talk a little bit about it, but that's about it. You know, even like the highlight, what is it? You know, the honor roll didn't show that, and the play of the night was like some soccer kick. Okay, all right. It just, that was the best Ottawa game of the playoffs, and just pretty bare minimum in terms of mainstream media. And what do I, lo and behold, today, eating breakfast, looking at the TVs and everything, TSN is going on and on, showing replay after replay of the Crosby goals and the Crosby goal and the Neal goal and over and over and over. Look at all the coverage on the Pittsburgh win. Just saying, I smell something. It don't smell good.
Well, Ottawa's a small market, and CBC and TSN will do everything they can to keep it a small and marginalized market that will not interfere with their big market coverage of Toronto and Montreal. They don't want Ottawa to be a big market. They don't want to have Ottawa has a fan base that people are clamoring, saying, we want to see more of Ottawa. We want to see more of this. We want to see less of Toronto. No, 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 we can't do that. That's our bread and butter.
Can you imagine?
I don't understand.
Can you imagine if Phaneuf or Loophole scored a game with 29 seconds left to go and then they won it in double overtime?
Oh, we'd still be playing it now.
Well, I mean, the TSN morning loop would be 60 minutes of Toronto Maple Leafs.
Granted, I will give it to TSN, though, for after Glenn Healy came out and said that Datsyuk doesn't have natural talent. So TSN came out with their top 10 and it was top 10 Datsyuk moves.
Guy's such a troll.
Oh, that was gold.
It was gold, but that's the kind of thing that they need to do for Ottawa. You know, well, they really do.
Yeah. Okay, let's just say that you're a casual fan right now and you're trying to pick a team in the same way if you go back to my first guest episode for my history, because I just started watching hockey in 94 and just kind of bandwagoned off Vancouver, the Canadian team, and they went to the cup that year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what won me into the game. Now, you've got all of these announcers, especially on a national broadcast, that just talk about Pittsburgh and Crosby and Crosby and Crosby and Crosby.
Well, they have to. Crosby's the face of the NHL.
And it's worked. There's so many people that love Pittsburgh because of Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
So how's Ottawa going to grow?
They don't care. Crosby, they use Pittsburgh as the reason for people to watch that game, not Ottawa. Oh, there are a lot of people who want to watch Crosby play. They don't play up the, hey, by the way, this is the team that has Matt Cook on it. Anyway, yeah. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'm getting frustrated with that. I don't want to talk about the Penguins. But two more quick things. How many people, just think about the lineup in Ottawa for a second. How many players do you think are playing hurt? I mean, Spezza and Carlson, those are obvious.
Neal.
McCulloch. Neal. I think Cowan's hurt.
Yeah, there's not a reason for him to be this bad.
Yeah, he seems to be kind of, I mean, I know that he came back late and it may not be hurt as much as he came back late and I keep forgetting that, but he may be just like Spezza and Carlson. He hasn't fully recovered, but he's playing anyway. But he just doesn't seem to have, maybe he's hurt something else or his recovery has been set back a little bit, but he just doesn't seem to have the jump and the energy and the push that he did when he first joined the lineup again.
Everybody's hurting this time of year.
Here's a tweet for Don Brennan, though.
Uh-oh.
Isn't it time for Peter Regan? 3 goals, 1 assist in 6 games versus Penguins in 2010.
Yeah. Sit down. Sit down.
I replied to him, guys. I know you guys don't like it when I go back to media guys. I throw back, no.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I like that. Just one last little bit of Senators news, and this is actually Binghamton news. I was thinking the other day that there's always a lot of player changeover in the AHL teams with new prospects coming in and veterans moving around, and some go to Europe and some come back. Andre Benoit was one of those a couple of years ago. A player who was a fairly late signing to the Binghamton Senators before the season last year, Hugh Jessamine, won't be back because he just signed with Zagreb in the KHL. So that's at least one spot for the CC Pumple, Nason, Rutkowski, and everybody else who's going to be trying to make that team as a rookie next year. So that one just came out today.
Is that any type of loss, though?
Really? He was a pretty good player. He was brought in as a big body, and originally thought that he would just be a big, literally, he's physically very large. And if necessary, he might have to scrap to try and protect some of the smaller players like Pajot and Prince and so on. But he did turn into be a very useful player for the team. Yeah. It's not like losing McCulloch. It is a loss, actually. They'll have to re-engineer how they have their top two lines, because he was playing a lot of top 6 minutes as a large player.
Well, re-engineering the top two lines when freaking half of them are playing up here.
Yes, and that's why they found him so useful. And they're staying here, so.
We've got so many guys coming up. I don't care. No offense to Hugh Jessamine in the case that he listens, which he doesn't, but there's other guys. There's other guys coming out. Like, Nietzsche needs a place. Pumple needs a place. These guys are forwards. There's your top two lines right there.
Yes. As long as there's somebody around to protect them.
You can pick
someone. This is the AHL.
You can pick someone up.
Well, you already had one. Now you got to find another.
Bring Kramer up then. He's been playing in the ECHL.
If he can make it. We'll see.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to throw out here. Zibanejad or Pajot? Not that you really need to pick one, but my God, Pajot has been incredible in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
And his fan cheer is really sticking.
I love that.
Spontaneous and perfect.
Yep. And it carries. You can actually hear it on the TV, which is nice, because a lot of the times you can't hear what's being said in Scotiabank Place over TV or radio. But it's quite easily discernible. No, if I had to pick between the two of them, they kind of play they play differently. I don't know. That's a hard one to call, especially right now, because Zibad seems to be, I don't know whether it's because he's not playing in the role that he was before when he and Silverberg were together and they were clicking really well.
I don't know why you break that line up. Mm. I guess you kind of have to.
I think they broke it up because, well, they had to. Spezza came back. Too many centers.
Well, that was it.
We've got like six centers right now.
Mm-hmm. Which is good for face-offs if somebody gets waved out.
Yeah. Who was saying for job security, just take up left wing? Because it worked.
Oh, who was it that tweeted that?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Sens Nation, I think. That was pretty good.
No, that's, well, yeah, exactly. Be a center who can play left wing. That's a pretty good job security. Other playoff matchups. Let's move off the Sens for a bit. Other playoff matchups. Boston and New York. New York won in overtime tonight.
No sweep.
Yep. Boston just can't win that fourth game.
The other two games are underway. I haven't had a chance to look at the scores. Brad Richards was a healthy scratch for the New York Rangers tonight.
Yeah, he's screwed.
I'm thinking.
Well, not really. He's going to get his wall is going to be padded.
Yeah, I'm thinking amnesty buyout. He's in the second year of a 9-year, $90 million contract.
Whoa.
Sorry, $60 million. 9 years, $60 million contract. He's in the second year of it, but it's all front loaded. The last 4 years, $1 million salary. And when I heard that he was a healthy scratch, I went, why on earth? I mean, I know he's been playing badly and Tortorella has been frustrated with him, but why were they healthy scratch? I went, wait a minute. I think I know why. And about 20 minutes later, they mentioned it. I'm not sure if it was on the TV or radio or was reading it somewhere. I bet he was a healthy scratch so that he doesn't get hurt.
Yep.
Because if he gets hurt, then they can't amnesty buy him.
And I think it's a month to the day.
Yeah. So. Ugly. He'll get re-signed somewhere and he'll make his money. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's
I hate saying these things. Toronto.
Or back to, well, maybe. I'm sure there'll be quite a number of teams who are interested in his services, but it'll depend on how much he's asking for.
Well, yeah, you know, if I was, no, they don't have the cash. I was thinking going back to Tampa. They don't have the cash. And
no, they're a little tied up. But he'll find a spot. Somebody will pay him. But I don't think he'll be making quite as much money as he was now. But since he'll be walking away with, what, $60 million contract? So he'll walk away with about 30 of that, including the money he made last year and this year. So he'll probably walk away with $20 million in cash or spread out. But, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Not including the money that he made, right?
Exactly. And what he'll be making in this next contract from other teams. I'm sure he'll do fine. He'll be able to afford that new Bugatti. Or Zonda or whatever it is he wants to drive.
Yeah.
We missed a couple of... did you want to talk about any of the other playoffs? I haven't really watched much.
Refs are apparently screwing... I haven't watched anything like this, but refs are apparently screwing over LA too.
No? I wish I haven't been watching any of that, so...
There was one blown call in the... I think it was the last game. The game that, and I think you wrote it in here where quick, it's way down, but we can talk about it now. It's kind of hanging out. But when Quick got the misconduct for abuse of the official.
Yeah.
So I think what happened, and this is from my brief memory about it, was LA got called for goalie interference, got a 2-minute penalty on the game winning goal. It was an overtime loss. On the tying goal, which was late, Quick was just getting hit. So it's like, you call a penalty on us, and yet San Jose, who's another darling team, gets away with it, gets the goal, and then gets the win. That's why Quick was all upset about it. Really upset about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just that's why he got the penalty, but just ran right at the ref.
Well, a 10-minute misconduct for abusive official... that's rule. I looked it up. It's rule 39.5, and that can also have supplemental discipline attached to it.
And the league decided against it. No.
Yeah, it didn't.
Yeah. Well, and $200 fine, right?
Well, I don't know. Whatever it could be, $2,500.
No, $200.
Oh.
I think they forgot to inflate that one.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Sharks get a $100,000 fine for their comments on the Rafi Torres suspension. Apparently, Doug Wilson was criticizing the league for the suspension, and there's some sort of he violated a rule that was put in place prohibiting team statements to the media within a 48-hour period following disciplinary action, and that's an automatic $25,000 fine. And then they were docked an additional $75,000 because of inappropriate nature of comments.
How dare you talk out of the league?
How dare you talk back to us? But $100,000.
It's a lack of respect. No respect.
No respect. Exactly. I just thought that was a little high. We were talking awards last week and we missed a few. So there were a couple we wanted to talk about. I'm not sure if we missed them because they hadn't been announced or if I just didn't write them down. So Masterton, Pan, you wanted to talk about this one.
Yeah. So the nominees, we've got Josh Harding. Diagnosed with MS in, I believe, training camp, if not, or during the lockout.
Yeah.
So he's gone through extensive, not training, but
treatment.
But treatment. That's it.
Yes, treatment. Ed.
He's started a foundation as well for other research and other people suffering from MS, which is just huge for a goalie to go through, especially. Mm-hmm. Adam McQuaid, who had blood clot issues and had to have some major surgeries done.
Thank you. I was trying to remember what was up with him. I knew something was, but I couldn't remember what it was. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, and? So,
yes, and Sidney Crosby for bumping into his own player.
Now, it's interesting that all three of them are had medical issues. And I say that only because the Senators nominee for this trophy was Andre Benoit.
Because that's perseverance and sportsmanship.
Exactly. Perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey because he played, he played in Europe, he played in North America in the AHL, and I think he even had some time in the ECHL as well. So he'd been around a while. But, the three finalists are guys who
overcome something. Every team has to submit one.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. How it cannot be Josh Harding is beyond me.
Crosby's got it. You never voted against Crosby. Anyone,
well, yeah, you wanted him to get the Calder, I think.
Apparently, he's not eligible. I'm sure they can fix that.
Yeah. Rewrite the book.
Let's change your rules.
Exactly.
Yeah, if Josh Harding doesn't win this, just forget it.
Yeah, there's something ridiculous going on.
There's been a lot of them with medical issues and major injuries and stuff like that too, right? Like I remember Fernando Pisani had it because he had Crohn's, and you lose so much weight.
Oh yeah,
and you can't deal with stress, and
you can't work out.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so it's just things like that, right? And that's what the Masterson is all about. So if Crosby gets it for bumping into his own player, come on. Anyways, so that was that one. Jack Adams, yet again, Paul McLean gets a nomination, which is great. It's going to be him with Bruce Boudreau and Joel Quenneville. So Boudreau's won it in 07-08 with Washington. Quenneville won it in 99-2000 with St. Louis. Front runners, guys?
I'm not saying this because of the team I cheer for, but I think Paul McLean should win it simply because of the work he's done this year to keep a team with, at one point, five of the team's biggest stars out. He was putting players in, pulling players out, replacing them, kept the team competitive. Boudreau and Quenneville, Chicago had that brilliant start. I'll give them that. Absolutely, they did. And Anaheim has played very well throughout the entire season. I'll give them that too. But that's not working. That's success. That's not success and overcoming adversity at the same time. So I would, and I mean, a lot of the mainstream media is starting to look at Paul McLean as the one who should win this. There's been a lot of talk that I've been reading about that. So I would say McLean.
I'm hoping for it, but it's going to be tough because Chicago, yeah, you've got the superstars, but their goaltending is average at best.
Except for the fact that their goaltending had unbelievable numbers, and Ray Emery went 16-1, didn't he?
Yeah.
Through the regular season?
Yeah, but it's Ray Emery.
It may not be big names, but they were playing well. So, Jimmy Howard?
Who? So, I don't know.
What about Montreal, dude? I mean, they went from being last in the conference last year to being
Michel Therrien? No, he doesn't get any.
Well, he doesn't get any respect.
The GM. Yeah, that was cool. The GM got nominated for that, so that's fine. That was more of a GM thing, anyways, in my opinion. Messier Award. So that's a leadership one, on and off the ice. Oh, Messier chooses this.
Yes, he chooses it himself.
Moose.
He takes advice. I was reading. I had to look this one up because I didn't know much about it. He does take advice from other people, but he's the one who actually chooses the winner.
I think we're screwed then.
Oh, wait. You think? Didn't they all get them?
Are Alfredson, Dustin Brown from LA, and Jonathan Toews. You know why I think we're screwed? Or why Alfie's screwed in this?
Why?
Because Messier used to play with Glenn Healy.
Bet you can't pick just one.
Yeah, but Messier has more integrity in his small finger.
No, I know. I'm just being facetious here.
Come on, that was a solid reference to the old Doritos commercials.
Oh. Boy. So, hoping for Alfredson.
Well, let's see. Alfredson's been a great leader on and off the ice for this team for how many seasons now? 15?
Yep. Well, I don't know what the other guys do in their communities, right?
Can they do more than what Daniel Alfredson does in this one? That would be a pretty hard mark. That would be hard to do.
They're big cities.
They're big cities, but they're also big cities with a lot of other... In L.A., the Kings rank below, let's see, the Clippers, the Lakers.
The Flippers.
The Angels, you know, how many other sports come above hockey in L.A.? In Chicago, well, he doesn't play for the Bears, and he doesn't play for the Cubs, and he doesn't play for the Bulls. So he's fourth. No matter how good he is, he's in the fourth sport.
Yeah, but you do what you can with him. He's not competing against other guys from Chicago and other sports.
No, but I mean, compared to what
this isn't the Chicagoan of the year, if that's what.
No, but it in terms of showing great leadership on and off the ice, the other sports are going to get the bigger exposure for what they do.
You're going to get more social impact in Canada with that.
Yes,
but I don't know. I have no idea what Captain Sirius does.
Well, here in Ottawa, Alfredson walks on water, and the CBC will just report it as Alfredson can't swim.
That's not bad. That's true. That's not bad at all, actually. That's not bad. Anyway, I'm hoping for Alfie on that one. He certainly
just does. Think of it with. Keep laughing at your own jokes, Eric. Can I?
Laughing at you, muttering.
I liked it.
It's like, I just don't know where to go with that.
Yeah. Moving but on.
If you think without the injuries, O'Grady and McLean probably wouldn't have gotten the nomination. But Vezina, Anderson would be right into it. The Norris would be silver platter to Carlson.
Probably.
So we would have four individual awards, nominations.
Yeah, could be.
And probably at least two wins.
Well, let's hope we still get two.
What a friggin' team we've got.
Mm-hmm.
So we should trade him.
Paul McLean?
Yep, trade him.
I don't know what we might get for him. Well, I think the Canucks might like him. I don't know what we want back.
They should get Lindy Ruff out there.
Oh yeah. Well.
Okay. Let's go with Canucks first.
Yeah. Now the Canucks have fired Vigneault, Bonus, and Newell Brown, so two assistants plus their head coach, and Gillis is still around, which just blows my mind that he gets to stay on and try and extricate himself from the mess he created. No, he didn't hire Alain Vigneault. He inherited him. I understand that. But he's the one who's been doing all the hiring and trading for this team for the past couple of years and built it into what it is right now. And
great regular season team.
Yeah, exactly. They're a great regular season team that doesn't...
Two overpaid goalies.
Yeah, but which he still thinks he can get something for one of them, and he wants to keep the other, and it's just how ownership can still have him.
He's going to get a tax write-off for Luongo.
Maybe, yeah.
And just for the expenser.
Tax write-off? It's now a charity to write somebody off?
Oh, yeah, with the money that they're going to be spending on him off your revenues? That's great for a corporation.
Maybe so.
It's better than a charitable donation.
Now, if the Canucks have fired Vigneault, who do you think Torts is going to survive in New York?
No.
So he could be next. There was an interesting one that was brought up. I'm not sure if it was the radio or TV the other day. Dave Tippett. I don't think he's not going to get fired in Phoenix, but his contract is up. So. Yeah. So he could just walk away from them. And I mean, he would be a coach that would be in demand. But there are a lot of coaches out there. If you're looking for a retread, I mean, there's Lindy Ruff. There's Jacques Martin, Joe Sacco, Guy Boucher, and Glenn Galutzan from Dallas. I can't even pronounce his name because I've never heard of him.
Oh, he was on his 2 years and he was terrible.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll get retreaded to anybody.
It's like, yeah, whatever. Corey Kluson's also available.
Well, funny you should go there.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to Corey Kluson, but.
Kool-Aid man. Okay.
Right before it, the guy before him.
Yeah.
The donkey?
Not a donkey. Kurt Klein.
Paddock?
No.
Oh.
Kurt Klein.
Oh, Kleindorf.
Oh.
The one who took Binghamton to a Calder Cup championship and who left Binghamton when he found out he wasn't going to get the job up here that went to Paul McLean. I don't blame him for it. Not at all. He was looking to go and do something else. He's currently coaching in NCAA Division I, University of Alabama at Huntsville. And he was a hell of a good coach. And why somebody would not look at somebody like him, why a team wouldn't look at somebody like him instead of retreading some of these other guys who've been fired, I don't get.
Because it's the Leafs West.
Yeah. So they want...
No, what? But another... Yeah, he would only do well in a developing team.
Well...
And I can't think of one.
Edmonton?
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's just something I was thinking the other day. I mean,
I think Lindy Ruff to the Rangers.
He'd have a short shelf life there. I think I can see it happening, but I can't see him staying there more than 2 years. I think he would wear out his welcome even faster than Torts has, because he's as merciless, if not more so, on getting what he wants his players to do. And he was so successful at getting them to buy into it for so long in Buffalo. I'm not sure that he can walk into a new room and be able to kind of start from scratch and you know, figure out the personalities in the room and work with them.
Where's Jacques Martin these days?
RDS?
Maybe he could go to the Canucks. They could be like the former Sens. After every loss, he'd be like, well, they're a pretty good hockey club.
Next question. The other big coaching news is Patrick Roy was named head coach and VP hockey operations for Colorado today. Now, I found that
interesting. Stick it to the Habs.
Well, no, what I find is head coach and VP hockey operations, while Joe Sakic is executive VP hockey operations. And there's a GM there as well, is there not? That's going to get crowded.
Is he really a good coach?
I think the GM's done.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Is he that good a coach? He's done pretty well in Quebec City with the Rempart.
But it's getting a name in.
Yeah. And a former Avalanche who won them how many Stanley Cups?
Yeah. I would expect maybe Adam Foote to come back as an assistant.
Yeah, could be.
Bring them all back.
Yeah, we'll see.
I guess once you get your foot in the door, the sky's the limit.
Yep. Yeah!
Too much cheese tonight. Much cheese. Okay, can we?
Where'd Phil Housley end up?
We just got hired. I can't remember where he just got hired to.
No, not Calgary.
No.
Anyways.
I have to look that
up. He did a hell of a job in the World Juniors. So that'll be exciting to kind of see him back in the fold of things too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Now,
you know this season's coming to an end when we're talking assistant coaches.
One former Ottawa Senator in the news was Andy Sutton announced he was retiring. So no more big hip checks crossing the ice and crushing people into the penalty box.
Are you an expert?
I am an expert. I watched that replay. I know.
So you're
what
an
a
expert.
Freaking legend. I love this guy.
One of the best sound clips ever.
So he played, 17 games with Ottawa, and he has 3 or 4 of the best hits ever?
Exactly. No, I just love the way
I missed him when he left, but...
Yeah, love the way...
Yeah, injuries took over.
Exactly. Bunch of other stuff we could talk about. I'm not really sure I want to talk about any more of them, though, because it's all the same sort of who cares level of things, at least at the moment for me.
You seriously had something on the Leafs in our notes?
I did. Because I couldn't believe that the Leafs found a way to keep themselves in their head.
Snappy, 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 snappy.
I'm actually going to ignore that because it's a good one. It's so stupid that was what they did to keep themselves in the news. Apparently, Mikhail Grabowski has admitted that he really did bite Max Pacioretty. That was the game back in February where there's all the controversy about, oh my God, he bit me, but there was no evidence, so there was no supplemental. And according to a report from Dmitry Chesnokov, who's really interesting to follow on Twitter, if you're interested in keeping up with what's going on in the Russian hockey scene, he said it, yep, he bit him.
Suck it, Finov.
More like chew it.
Bite me.
Anyway, I just thought that pathetic.
So comes out with that, you can't suspend them. Fine them.
Yeah, you'd think. But he'll just say, well, I was misquoted. It was badly translated or something. Yeah, pathetic, but there you go.
I hit him.
That's right.
Hit him.
I didn't bit him. I hit him. Exactly.
I don't think things rhyme in Russian in the same way that they do in English.
Yeah, you just have to do it with an accent. They rhyme.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on to some email. Let's move on.
Yeah, this is just ridiculous.
It's getting stupid. It's getting late. Pan, you're up with the first one, which goes back to game two.
I like how you cut out that the LA Kings tweet thing.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, sorry. What was that? That's right.
I'll tell you after.
Oh, okay. It's not something to be mentioning here. Okay.
Well, yeah, it was just an absolutely inappropriate tweet, and you guys get mad at me all the time.
They went off the deep end?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think we can mention it because obviously it was absolutely inappropriate. And we don't condone it.
Did they delete it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had to come out and officially apologize. But they had one of the guys from the Kevin and Bean show, which is a really popular morning radio show out in LA, guest tweet on their official Twitter page.
Oh, that's not going to go well.
And so one of the tweets was something about Kopitar getting molested in front of the net. People didn't take kind to the words that they used.
Oh, so, geez, Louise.
Like, go ahead.
Well, what are the social media representatives of LA thinking when they take a radio DJ and put them on their Twitter feed and thinking this is a good idea, just turn them loose and say, yeah, do whatever you want. You're really popular. We're going to let you do, you know, your shtick on our Twitter feed, which has, you know, it's not audio. It's only text.
It'd be like Steve Warren taking over the Senators feed.
It'd be like Jim Jerome doing it.
Or me.
Or Penn.
I'm still shocked that the password still works.
Referees are a joke.
I have to talk about that, okay? We're going to talk about that afterwards. After we say that everything's over, you and I will talk about changing the password on our Twitter feed.
Okay? Yes.
Yeah, good.
Well, what are you guys going to be changing it to?
Just fire up a new one.
Come on, let's get through this email. We got stuff to read and we got to get out of here. Pan, you're up with the first one.
Thank you for giving me the short ones.
I live to please.
Yeah. So this one's from Elaine. So game two, damn. Well, they gave it a strong effort. The Sens can't score goals if they keep losing all their momentum due to offside plays. This needs to get under control and fast. Elaine.
Pretty much true. I think we talked about that in
her game recap.
Oh, all of the game recaps. I think Boingy brought that up. She brought it up. I brought it up. So 100% agree on that one. I don't think anything more needs to be said. The next one's from Michelle. Subject is up-and-coming players. What I know about hockey I've learned recently, all while watching the WHL's Portland Winterhawks, and I've learned how to tell when I'm watching talent. Ottawa's lucky to get Troy Rutkowski. However far down the road, he may actually play in the NHL. He's a defenseman who can score. He got two of the four in the Winterhawks' 7-4 loss to Halifax in the Memorial Cup round robin. And he's a leader. He's the Portland captain. He's young, and I'm quickly looking to see where I can follow him after he leaves us in a few weeks. I wish we could keep him for another season. I can only hope he does as well in Ottawa as he's done in Portland. Michelle, in the other Vancouver, in Washington State. Just so you know, Michelle, you can follow all the Binghamton Senators games on the radio. There's an online feed. And Grady Wittenberg, who's their play-by-play guy, is awesome. He calls a really good game. So if Rutkowski makes it to Binghamton, which I'm pretty sure he will, you'll be able to follow all the games online, at least for audio. Sorry, Pan, I cut you off there.
Well, wouldn't he be an overager anyway?
I don't think he's going. I think he already is, because this was the guy who was signed with Colorado.
Yeah, let's just trade him back to Colorado.
Well, we could probably get something. Okay, we'll do it for Matt Duchene, straight up. I trade him
Matt Duchene and a first or Rutkowski.
Oh, that's right. No, yeah. I trade him for Jamie McGinn. Yeah. Jamie McGinn, good winger. Yeah. We'll take him, former Ottawa 67.
Wasn't he the guy that had the problem in the offseason, the RFA holdout?
Rutkowski?
No, McGinn.
No. He was signed.
No, who was the defenseman that had that?
Oh.
It's the strange dad who's a coach.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of the name. Well, I'm sure we'll have a listener who will tell us who we're thinking of.
Yeah. Granted, I really enjoyed how this email came.
O'Neill?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically it just said, get Colonel to read this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I going to butcher it that much?
No, it's
probably. I'll
come clean on this one. Michelle's a friend of mine. She's the one who actually has been feeding me quite a bit of the information on Rakowski.
Oh, well, why are you just getting your friends to email the show?
As opposed to my sister?
Oh, yeah.
Zing.
It's like bringing your cousin to prom.
Let's get on. We got two more emails to read. Pan, you're up for the next one.
Oh, this one's mine again? Okay.
Yeah.
So from Boingy. Thoughts on an ugly night. So didn't see game four tonight. And just as well, the car accident I've been dealing with sounds like it was a picnic by comparison. Very disappointed to see the score and read about some of what went down. But let's hold our heads high, Sens fans. This isn't over yet. And even if it does end Friday night, we played in the second round of the playoffs. Given what happened to our club this season, that itself is freaking amazing. I'm flying the colors all through the off season. Damn right, I'm flying them. And if this was Alfie's final home game, yeah, it's a shame that it had to be a loss like this. But let's not focus on that and let it overshadow the amazing memories number 11 has given us over the years. We were lucky to have him in Ottawa all these years, and let's be grateful for it. Onwards to Friday, whatever it brings. Cheers, Boingy.
Well said, sir.
Yep. No, you're right, because it's when we're looking at the short term, these games have just sucked. But after Friday, when it's all over, then...
easy now.
Well, I'm demoralized.
Well, you're not helping the rest of us, so...
I know. Hush up.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Fine, you read this email then.
Yeah.
Can I queue up for the last
one? It doesn't even fit on one screen. This
I know. Email from Paul, now in California, formerly in Pittsburgh. Subject, so angry.
Paul must have gotten traded.
Now playing for the California Golden Seals.
Yeah. Boys, longtime listener, first time emailer. But I'm so angry after last night's game that I absolutely need to vent. I'm sorry, this could be long. I used to email the Underground as Paul in Pittsburgh. Now I'm Paul in California. But I lived there for 5 years, so I know a thing or two about the Penguins and their fans. And let me tell you that there is no fan base more entitled and whiny in the U.S. Obviously, Leafers are a league of their own. Pittsburgh logic pretty much goes like this. In the late 90s, early 2000s, they sucked for us, so that means we paid our dues, and now we have Crosby, so we deserve to win every cup. It always sucks when your team lays an egg, and boy did the Sens poop on the bed last night. The one thing that really bothers me in that they're not adapting to the style of game that the refs are calling. They have a few hooking or tripping calls in this series, but a ton of interference calls. And to give the Pens credit, they've adapted to that style, and every chance they get, they'll move into an Ottawa defender instead of around them and draw a crap interference call. You might say it's dirty, but right now the Sens need more dirty. It sort of makes me think back to the 07 Cup Finals, when Pronger and his cronies would take an extra shot on every single shift. They knew that there's only so many calls a ref can make. It's not like they can call every single one. So why not take a chance? I look at this series and I don't understand why the Sens aren't trying harder to get in Vokoun's face and make an extra dig for the puck, to put a shoulder into Crosby's broken jaw, and to generally make Frank and Malkin angry. You might say, well, you can't do that against the Pens because the refs will protect the poster boys, but I think Pronger had the right idea. You do it enough times and they can't call them all. The Penguins are an easy team to frustrate, and the fact that we're doing that, or they're not doing that, makes it clear that we're letting them way off too easy. As for Alfie's comment, I couldn't help but think it was a bit of a dig at the media. Ever since the start of the series, they've been gushing over the Pens so much, I hope they brought dry pants to change into. There's so much media hate for the Senators that I really thought Alfie was making fun of them. Like, here, let me write your column for you because I already know what you're going to say. The Pens have too much depth. They are power play gods. Crosby's the best player in the world, and he makes me jizz in my pants. No need to edit that. Just send it straight to the press. People seem to be ripping on Alfie because his comments sounded pessimistic. I'd really like to hear what you guys think of my theory. Great job on the show, guys. Keep it up. But we don't need to hear every single sound sample you've ever found on the internet in every single episode. Go Sens go. Leafs suck. Screw Crosby and his lame child molester playoff beard.
Oh, there's that word again.
Well, it's his word. Paul and Cali. Apparently, that's the thing to say in California.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Cards and letters to. All right. Well put, Paul. You suffered the. I remember some of the notes that you used to send in from your time in Pittsburgh and how unbelievable some of the fans were down there. And yeah, we're kind of going through that again. But thanks for putting everything in perspective. Very well put.
Feel I agree that we don't need all the sound clips.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to use all of them in each show.
That's right. Was it the last one or the 2 months ago? Or
yeah, the last full episode where we were trying to fill it up and got a little out of hand.
It's an extra 20 minutes of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for the email they sent in. We're always happy to get them and hope for more next week.
You realize when you say that kind of stuff, you're just encouraging me.
Don't.
What's
going to do? Oh. I'll try and not use any of the words that might key in something. So, yeah, see? I'm careful about the way I choose my words. I think we're done, guys. Anything else you want to talk about? I think we've gone on long enough. I think we should just wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Predictions for Friday? Jerseys.
There'll be a hockey game.
I'm shaving that night.
Ooh. I'm not sure I want to be out having pints with you then.
The beard.
Grumpy Gus. Coming game 5 is this Friday, May 24th. The Senators are the Penguins, and there will be a game 6.
You know what the other kick in the pants was? I got charged for my game 6 tickets right after the freaking loss.
Nice.
Like, thanks, guys.
Bohica.
Oh.
That's nice.
Anyways,
I think there will be a game 6. There's my prediction for you.
I hope so.
I think there will be one.
If we go to 6, I'm happy.
There we go.
Very happy.
Folks, we're always happy to hear from you, so give us an email about either things we've done right, things we've done wrong, things you want to comment on. The emails tonight were excellent. Thought-provoking, well-written, fun to read, good to talk about. Send us more of them. You can email us at podcast@senscallups.com. The ongoing game threads, great place to, if you're getting frustrated at a game, I was really happy to have a game thread for game 4 because it was a great place to blow off some steam and be around other people doing the same sort of thing. So the game threads and other threads are always in the listener forums at sensunderground.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Twitter's always active. Wasn't too busy during the last game, but I think it was just because
my phone doesn't work at Scotiabank.
Nobody's doing it.
A window.
It's funny that all three major networks have major problems out at Scotiabank Place during a game. Doesn't matter who you're with, they all seem to just get overloaded and crap out. So at least everyone's in the same boat, but it is very, very frustrating. It does keep you off Twitter, though, so. Not necessarily completely bad. It's fun to have messages appear in dozens for
you.
And
it gives you the illusion that you actually have a connection because you have a signal that says 3G, but.
Yeah, well, voice works perfectly. It's just the data stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get out of here. Until next week when we'll have more games to talk about. And
we hope.
We will. We will. Yes, games. We will. I refuse to be anything other than positive because this isn't over yet. And I'll be a Sens supporter no matter what happens. But I say there will be games to talk about next week. Until next week, thanks for listening. See you then.
See ya.
stay pesky.
I think everything's right here. It's 7-3. See you in Pittsburgh. We're coming to Pittsburgh, and we're coming to play. Have a good night.
Why is there a French version to this?
Exactly. That's your favorite.